Welcome to Victory Christian Center. You're about to hear Pastor Vanessa Schlugel as she brings a message on Sunday service.
Believe. And to whom is the arm of the Lord? And to whom will the arm of the Lord be revealed? What an amazing message. This is going to bless your heart. This is coming straight out of God's word. And it's going to encourage your heart. Are we echoing? Let's just clean that up. Praise the Lord. I just want to take a few moments in preparation for what I'm about to share with you, to share some scriptures that God's laid on my heart. And for this last year, there's a lot of Old Testament scripture that's been coming up in my heart. And there's words that God is kind of amplifying to me that are in some of these scriptures that are giving me an understanding of where we are on God's timeline. And some of the promises that he's given to us as the end time church and what our future is going to look like. And this is no ordinary Christmas. My eyes are absolutely looking and expecting some amazing things to come down from heaven and to come from heaven. And so there's just that expectation in me. And we are the end time church. Take a look around you. And we are in days of glory. God is coming back. Jesus Christ is coming back for a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle. She's not too young and she's not too old. She's perfect. And he's coming back for her. And we are in days of glory. Days of glory right now. And so, but what I would say is if we have a look in the natural, the earth has been under a huge assault. Our nation and the nations of the world, if we have a look around at what is going on, that Satan's come to steal, he's come to kill, and he's come to destroy that which God loves. That which God loves. He loves his earth, and he loves the people that he's created. And there's a lot of bad news that's coming out and on secular news feeds. The government control, the overreach of government control on the news feeds. There's all kinds of opinion pieces that are flooding social media. And you can spend days reading all the opinions. But it's interesting how that the truth is being deplatformed right now on mainstream media. And fear is gripping the hearts of many. And God said in the last days, many hearts will fail them because of fear. It's part of the prophetic understanding of what we're doing. Is it still echoing? It feels a little bit. Okay. But in the midst of that confusion and in that chaos, God wants us to focus our attention on his news feeds. God wants us to focus our attention on his news feeds and on his report. And he doesn't want us to be afraid. And we are not afraid. We've not been given a spirit of fear. We've been given a spirit of power, love, and we have a sound mind. You know, it's interesting that we read, and we're going to read it in just a moment, in the book of Luke, chapter 2, the first Christmas, and we're going to read that scripture, where the angel turns up on the earth, and the first thing that he sees, and he's got news from heaven, and it's good news. And the first thing that the angel said was, do not be afraid. And so we can take that, as it were, for a word for us right now. We are not going to be afraid of what we see happening in the earth right now. And it's amazing how when the angel in the Old Testament, the angels of the Lord would turn up and they would speak to some human being and the glory of God would be on this angel. And, oh, you know, human beings, all of a sudden this incredible creature is coming to speak to them. And continually they said, don't be afraid. I've got good news for you. There's some good news coming. And so why don't we just take some time right now and read the scripture about the first Christmas. Luke chapter 2, it says here, and there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel of the Lord said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Do not be afraid. I will bring you good news. Good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Messiah, the Lord. Amazing, the first Christmas. And so there is good news that is streaming from heaven right now. You know, on that first Christmas, we note and we read that there was kings in the earth that saw his star in the east, and they traveled and they came with gifts, and they came to bow their knee to the king, the great king who would be born, king of the Jews. And they came down and they bowed and they worshipped before him and recognized this great king. Well, what we're seeing right now today, Psalms chapter 2 tells us that the kings of the earth are gathering together against the king and against his anointed. And they are saying, let us break the cords of holy restriction off us. And so we are seeing that in government places and high global places, that the kings of the earth are wanting to break off the cords of God's holy restrictions that are around the human race. They are there for our safety, and they're there to keep us serving God. And so the governments of this world are not bowing their knee to Jesus Christ. They're wanting to break every rule, every regulation, all of Christianity off themselves. And so many of us in New Zealand and many believers around the world have been, as it were, grieving. And this beautiful nation that I grew up in, I don't recognize anymore. I don't recognize her anymore. She's not who I grew up with. We didn't used to lock our doors. We used to give a handshake. We didn't need lawyers because your word was your bond. And one death, one murder in the nation, and the whole nation was grieving. I remember as a young teenager, we had one murder and the whole nation was distraught because the roots of Christianity go deep and wide in this nation. This nation belongs to the Lord by covenant. It belongs to the Lord. You look in any town in our nation and you'll see churches on corners all around the little towns and the cities in our nation. And so the roots of Christianity are deep, deep in this nation, and they go wide. And so we have been grieving over the nation. But there is a report that God has been speaking to me about, and it's streaming from heaven's news feeds. And God is asking us to believe. Oh, God is asking us to believe his written word and the things that he has spoken about our time. And so let's have a look at that. Who has believed our report? Isaiah 53. Now, Isaiah 53, if you read the whole of that chapter, much of it is a messianic prophetic scripture that is speaking about Messiah, that when he will come as a lamb, he will suffer. And it talks about all of the suffering that he will do for our iniquities. He was killed, he was bruised for our iniquities, all of those kinds of things. But at the beginning it says here, excuse me, who has believed our report? God's asking that for us right now as the church. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord shall be revealed? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? You know, the arm of the Lord, Jesus Christ, is the arm of the Lord. Did you know that? Prophetically, he is the arm of the Lord. He is the Lord of battles. He is the Lord of heaven's armies. That's who he is. And it says, whoever believes the report, they are going to experience the arm of the Lord fighting for them on their behalf. And how about you? I'm choosing. I'm saying, yes, God, I'm believing. I'm believing your report right now. Those that believe are going to see the Lord of battles fight for them. God is going to arise and all of his enemies are going to be scattered. This is out of scripture. God will arise, his enemies will be scattered. God is going to turn the mourning and the sadness and the grieving. He's going to turn our mourning into laughter. That's happening right now. The news feed's coming down from heaven. Psalm 22 says, it says, surely I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's what David said when he had battles and he had kings coming around him. He says, I still have confidence. What did he say? I remain confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God is going to arise and his enemies are going to be scattered. Isn't that awesome? Why? Because Jesus Christ is the arm of the Lord. And so God is going to turn things around. What we see right now in the natural, God is going to turn it around, and there are going to be times of recovery and there are times of restoration that are coming in our day. Look for it, start to see it, have a look in the Word, and we will see. Why is that? Why is there going to be times of recovery, times of refreshing that come from the Spirit of the Lord, times of restoration over the nations? Can you imagine that? I mean, listen, if Nehemiah was able to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem in 52 days, surely our God, who created the earth, is able to restore and reorganize the earth in this final time in the church age. Absolutely, I believe. My eyes are up and I'm looking to the King of Glory. Praise the Lord. And so why is this going to happen? Well, because God says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This earth does not belong to demon spirits. It does not belong to the globalists. It does not belong to an antichrist spirit. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We are going to see that in our day. Not only that Jesus Christ, he is the rightful owner of all things. He is the rightful owner of all things. How is he the rightful owner? Well, he became the rightful owner by conquest, by inheritance, and because he's the creator. By conquest, we know that because the Bible says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the wicked one. What Satan came and did in the garden with the first Adam, taking the authority of the earth off the first Adam and becoming then the God of this world that would rule this earth. Why? Because Adam gave him the authority. Jesus Christ came as the last Adam, the book of Corinthians says. And what the first Adam failed to do, he was supposed to protect the earth. God had already warned him that there was an enemy that's going to come, and he was supposed to guard the earth, and he didn't. He allowed the serpent in and bowed his knee to him. And so that's why Jesus said, and Paul said, the God of this world has blinded their minds. That's why in the garden, when Jesus was taken to be tempted by Satan, Satan took him up onto a high place and said, all of these kingdoms of the world I will give to you, Jesus, if you bow down and worship me. You see, because Satan knew that Jesus, the Messiah, had come to restore and recover everything that Adam had lost. And so he said, all of these kingdoms of the earth I will give you if you bow down and worship me. This was a bona fide temptation. The kingdoms of the earth belonged to Satan at that point. Why? Because the first Adam gave it to him. But Jesus came and he died as a lamb. And then he rose from the dead and he got his authority of the earth back, and he turned around before he went up into heaven and he said, all authority now belongs to me in heaven and in earth. Now, church, you go with that authority and start to rule in my name, by my blood, and bring the accuser down and execute on him all of the judgments that have been written. That is our job as the church. That is our role as the church. And for the last 2,000 years, that's what we have been doing. And we have taken a good stride in there, all of the Reformation nations going out and preaching this good news that the Son has made us free, and we're free indeed. Jesus Christ is able to take up this earth right now in our day because he got it by inheritance. God says here that in the last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has made heir of all things. Jesus Christ is heir of all things. Do you think that he's just going to sit in heaven and allow what is going on to continue to go on the earth? No. The zeal of the Lord is about to arise. He was born as a son. He was born as a child, I should say. He rose as the Son of God. He came as a lamb to be sacrificed. He came to die and to be sacrificed as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the earth. But he rose as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he is a man of war, and he is going to fight the battles for us. I tell you what, it's absolutely exciting. He is the owner. He is the creator. You know, before he came as Jesus Christ, he was known as the Word. And John, in your scripture, it says here that in the beginning was the Word of God. Was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him, the Word, nothing was made that was made. In him was the life, and the life was the light of God. That is who our King is. He has created all things. And there's no way that a created being, as in a fallen angel, is going to be able to overcome the Lord Jesus Christ. No way in all of the earth is Satan going to be able to overcome the church, which is his body. We are in days of victory and glory. And so whose report are you going to believe? And to whom will the arm of the Lord be revealed? I'm saying, God, I'm here. I've been waiting for 40 years for this. We heard this 40 years ago as young believers in our 20s. And we were just, wow, we're ready to take the land. We're ready to see these promises. 40 years later, I'm still as excited now as I was back then. Why? It's the word of God. And we are going to see it again in our day. How do you think Josh and Caleb felt when God was ready to take them into the promised land? And then they had 3 million people saying, we can't do it. There's giants in the land. We're like bread. They're going to eat us up. Half the church. No, she's not saying that, not in this house. No, we're taking on those giants. 40 years, Josh and Caleb had to wait. And when 80 years old, and Caleb said to Joshua, you give me this mountain. I'm as strong now as I was back then. There's giants on that mountain, and I've been waiting for 40 years to take them down. That's who we are. That's who we are as the end time church. Our greatest days are right now on the horizon. So who has believed the report of the Lord? This is a time of God's favor. We are in a time of God's favor. The Bible talks about the favor of God. It talks about the acceptable year of the Lord. And you know, when Jesus came and at 30 years old, he walked into the temple and he opened the scrolls and he began to read out of the book of Isaiah 61. And he started to speak and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he stopped there. He was quoting Isaiah 61, and he said, this day, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Now, it's interesting, if we go back into Isaiah 61, we see that after the acceptable year of the Lord, the Bible says, and the day of a vengeance of our God. But Jesus stopped at the time of the acceptable year of the Lord, which is a time in the church age, this 2,000 years. God created the earth and in six days he rested on the seventh. There's a 7,000 year period of the earth that's been on a timetable. 6,000 years for man to rule this earth. And then the last is going to be the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. 1,000 years where the earth is going to rest under his reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, during that 4,000 years of our, of 6,000 years of our reign, there's been a 2,000-year time period called the church age, which was a mystery. The Old Testament didn't know about it, and it was a mystery because Christ had to come. And the Bible says if the princes of this world had known what God was going to do, that God was going to come as a lamb, he was going to die for our sins, and he was going to free us from the hold of sin, Satan, and death, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. And so it had to be a mystery. God had wrapped it up in prophetic scriptures. And so in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ came. And so we're talking about a period in the church age called the acceptable year of the Lord. It started 2,000 years ago when everything returned to its rightful owner. In fact, in the book of Leviticus, this is what it says when it talks about this acceptable year of the Lord. It says, during this time, all property must go back to its rightful owner. During the time of the acceptable year of the Lord, all property must go back. It was the 49th year in Israel as a nation. And on the 49th year, and then they went into a year of Jubilee where everything had to go back to its rightful owner, and then everyone would start again. Isn't that amazing? God's in the business of restoring. And so we right now are in that period of time where God, Satan has come, he's come in stealing, he's destroyed, he's doing all kinds of things in the nations. God is not going to finish the church age with Satan having taken possession of the nations that God has in his inheritance. And so God is going to return everything into our hands. We've got days of glory coming. Joel talks about, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. In the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. We're in the last days. We haven't seen all flesh touched by the Spirit of God. We're about to see that. Jesus Christ is bringing the earth back from captivity. Let me read you this. This is in the book of Psalms 126, and it was relevant to Israel in their day, and I believe it is relevant right now to us in our day. And it says here, when the Lord... I mean, are you out there? Are you excited that this is actually our history, that this is what's going to be happening in our future? Because in the Old Testament, sometimes they just they found it hard to believe that God was going to deliver them from this huge, big enemy. And look at this, it says here, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. This was like, this is a dream. I can't believe it. It's happening. We were like those who dreamed. And then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things, and we were glad. We are going to hear people speak among the nations. The Lord has done great things. This is not just the work of a man that's going to bring deliverance. The Lord of hosts, the arm of the Lord is coming, and he will do great things for us. And our hearts will be filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. And they will say, and we will join them and say, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing in the harvest. We've got a harvest right now, a harvest of human lives, of people that Jesus Christ has died for, and we are bringing them in. We have sown, we've sown seed. We have not seen the harvest of salvations in the nations coming into the house of God, but we will see it. And the Lord, it will be said, the Lord has done great things. The Lord has done great things. So, I'm listening to the news feeds coming from heaven. How about you? How about you? And so I have joy because I'm believing the report of the Lord. You know, this story of salvation, of God restoring and recovering, it's the story of our salvation. It's the story right through the Old Testament with the children of Israel. The enemy would come in like a flood. God would lift up a standard against him. The enemy would come in like a flame. God would lift up a standard against him. It's all the way through the Old Testament. It's the most marvelous love story. And even when they were in a mess and they'd gone away from God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, his mercy was new to them every morning. Great was his faithfulness. He said, if you're not faithful to me, he says, I'm going to remain faithful because I cannot die myself. I've loved you with an everlasting love, and I'm not going to let you go. And while somebody holds on to a covenant, that covenant is alive. If God broke covenant, the covenant would be gone. But when we've gone away from God, God remains faithful, and that covenant is alive, and he is fighting for us. He's fighting for the nations right now. He's the mediator that's sitting in heaven right now, standing in heaven. In fact, I believe he's right now standing up. And he's fighting for the nations. They are his inheritance. The uttermost parts of the earth are his possession. Psalm chapter 2. And so this is the story. And what I love about it is when the adversary would come in, you know, these kings, these despot leaders, these pharaohs, and God would raise people up, and both God and these people would fight together. And the Bible says in Daniel, it says that the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out exploits. The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out exploits. How about we put our hand up and say, God, I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong in the power of your might. I'm believing the report of the Lord. Satan has not got the end of the story for the earth right now, that you are the Lord of glory. This is your possession, and you're taking it, and I'm putting my hand up to be used by you in these days. You know, the arm of the Lord worked with Moses. The arm of the Lord worked with Joshua. The arm of the Lord worked with Gideon. It's a myriad of people through every generation. In fact, Hebrews says here, Hebrews 11, it says, through faith with God, they subdued kingdoms. They worked righteousness. They obtained the promises. They stopped the mouth of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. God is doing it again in our day. Isn't that amazing? He's doing it again in our day. God, the book of Acts says, God is no respecter of persons. And in fact, he goes on to say in that same chapter in the book of Hebrews, he said that I'm not leaving you like this. He said, I have got some better things for you than all of these champions of faith that have gone before you. It says here in Hebrews 40, God said, I have something better for you at the end of the age. And so go look at all the champions. Go look at the Hall of Faith and see all of these amazing people. You know, I'm reminded of the story of Joshua. And I was reading it the other day and I was thinking, my God, we don't read these stories. And have we become so secular in our thinking that we think that this is impossible and it could be make-believe? You know, there was a time when Joshua was fighting a battle in Ajalon, I believe it was, and in Gibeon, I think, Stephen. And he couldn't finish the battle because the sun was coming down. And he was so excited that he thought, I've got to finish this. I've got to wipe the enemy out. And so he was in his enthusiasm and in his faith. He spoke to the sun and he pointed it. And he said, Sun, you stand still in Gibeon. And what is it? Whatever. And something in the valley of Adonai. And the Bible said that the sun stood still until Joshua had finished the battle. And God got so excited about a man who would walk in the authority that God had originally given them to rule the earth, that God said, the Bible says that God got so excited that he started raining down hail from heaven on the enemy. And the Bible says that there was more people that died from the hail coming from God than there was than Joshua had slain with the sword. God loves it when we stand up and fight for our inheritance, that we fight for our nation, that we fight for our family and say, I'm not lying down. No, devil, you haven't got the end of the story. Son, stand still. I ain't finished the fight. Do we believe the report of the Lord? Do we believe that that's possible? And I think scientists now say, no, we didn't stop the sun. He actually must have stopped the earth. That's a thought. Whatever it is, he had authority. And he did what God had called him to do. God is doing it again in our day. God has seen, I want to read the scripture to you, that God has seen the demonic assault on the people of the earth and on the nations. God has seen this, and I feel that this represents his heart. He saw it in the Old Testament when he saw that there was no intercessor, there was no one to stand in the gap and to fight. And so he said, there's no human being that can stand and fight for the people of the earth, so I'm going to come down myself, and I'm going to become a man, and I'm going to fight for them. And so God became a man, so he could stand in the gap and fight for us. And God is feeling this way right now towards his beautiful creation. It said, and the Lord saw it, what's going on? The kings of the earth, the demonic stuff. And it displeased him that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm, Jesus Christ, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as his breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head, and he put on the garment of vengeance for clothing, and he was clad with a zeal as a cloak. Now that's the armor of God we read about in Ephesians that he's told us to wear, God's armor. Verse 18, and according to their deeds, this is him talking to the nations, those ones that refuse to bow their knee, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury for his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands, yes, he will fully repay those that have been trying to destroy this nation. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. We're in that place right now. And so I'd like to just encourage us by saying that the Bible talks about 400 messianic or prophetic scriptures that describe Jesus Christ. 400 that describe who he is, his lineage, his birth, what he would do, what he would achieve, his suffering, and then going on into eternity, his rule. And the Bible says that all of those prophecies, that Jesus could not appear in the earth until the fullness of time, until everything had been written about him. And then he turned around and he spoke to the Pharisees. He says, I thought you would know that in the volumes of the book, it has been written about me. I have come to do your will, O God. And so Jesus came to the earth, and the volumes of the book, it has been written about him. Now, scholars say that we've had probably around 350 of those prophetic scriptures that have foretold who he is and what he would do. That we've had 350 of those scriptures that have already been fulfilled. Jesus Christ has already fulfilled those scriptures. There's about another 50 scriptures within the Old Testament, some requoted in the New. There's about 50 left that have yet to be fulfilled. And what is so interesting is that those 50 scriptures that have yet to be fulfilled are speaking of his lordship, his kingship, his eternal governance, the title, the Lord of hosts, looking at him as the God that has vengeance on his enemy and his judgment on Satan. And so Jesus came as the Lamb and died, but he rose as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and the king's about to roar. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is about to roar. This planet does not belong to Satan. It belongs to Jesus Christ. And God has said that he has highly exalted Jesus Christ. He has given him the name which is above every other name, that at that name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. That he is Lord. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is about to roar. Are you excited about that? Every demon is going to bow. Every despot leader will bow their knee. Now they can bow it and honor him and get saved. Otherwise they're going to face the judgment of Jesus Christ. Now I want to read this other scripture to you, Haggai chapter 2. This was a scripture of Zerubbabel. He was wanting to rebuild the temple of God. At that time, it had been decimated. And there was Joshua, the high priest, and they were getting very, very discouraged in their time because the enemy had come and decimated God's temple. And so they were rebuilding, and they were crying because it didn't look like the old temple, the glory of the old temple. And so they were grieving in their spirit, and God spoke to him several times during this chapter. And that's interesting, in the New Living Translation, it says here, and on that same day, in fact, the previous verses, it said, remind him about this day, the 18th of December. Remind him. And he said, on that day, he repeats, December the 18th, the Lord sent the second message to Haggai. And he says, you tell Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, that I am about to shake, this is a prophetic psalm, that I am about to shake the heavens and the earth. And I will overthrow royal thrones and destroy the powers of foreign kingdoms. I will overturn their chariots and riders. The horses will fall and their riders will kill each other. But when this happens, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will honor you, Zerubbabel, my servant, and I will make you like a signet ring in my finger, says the Lord, for I have chosen you. I, the Lord of heaven's armies, have spoken. I want you to know that we are the house of God, not made with hands. The Holy Spirit lives inside us, and God is building, and God is doing a great work, and God is about to overthrow the thrones of this earth. And they are about to become the kingdoms of our Christ and of our Savior. And he is going to reign. So this is the report that I believe that God is wanting us to hear this Christmas. And to look up and to get excited and to have joy. I want to encourage you with this. A couple more scriptures. Moses said to the people when the armies were coming against them. This was the army of Egypt that was about to come against them. And just think about it. They'd come out of Egypt and God had delivered them. 10 plagues that came on Egypt. It's the same plagues, very similar to what's going to be happening in the tribulation plagues. That's God's going to be raining down on the kings in the hope that they will repent, but they don't. They continue to harden their heart, just the same as Pharaoh continued to harden his heart. God got them out of Israel. They came out with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble one among them. God is going to rapture us in the right time with silver, with gold, and there's not one feeble one among us. There will be a transfer of power. There will be a transfer of wealth. The gold of Egypt came into the hands of the children of Israel. We are going to see that again in our day. A transfer of authority, a transfer of wealth. We are getting ready for that. And this is what Moses said, because all of a sudden the armies of Egypt picked themselves up and the children of Israel are walking and there's the Red Sea. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid." I mean, how's that? Would you imagine yourself in there? Here's these armies coming, and here's you just standing, and there's the Red Sea. There is no way out. But this is what Moses says: "Do not be afraid. Stand still, and you will see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more forever." We walked through the Red Sea, which is a type of water baptism. Isn't that right, Stefan? A type of water baptism. And it closed over the armies of the wicked one. And we will see them no more. So let there be joy in the house. Let the joy of the Lord be on his people, for the Lord has come. And let me read the scripture one more time, that our mouth will be filled with laughter. Our mouth will be filled with laughter. Our tongues will shout with joy. And it will be said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for us. The Lord has done great things. Now, as we close, I'm just encouraging you, as just a person that's walked with the Lord for 40 years, we've got time to get our lives in order with God and to just say, "Father, here I am, send me." To be like the wise kings that came to worship him and to give his life. We have a window of opportunity to be able to serve the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all of our strength. And so, Father God, I just want to speak blessing right now on everyone that has, Lord, heard these amazing words coming from you, coming from heaven, that we're choosing to believe your report, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we just want to say that we believe that you are the arm of the Lord and that you are fighting for us and that there is joy in this house. There is good news in this house, in our lives, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for watching Victory Christian Center. For more content, please subscribe to our YouTube channel, or you can subscribe to our podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, or Google Podcasts. Check out our website at victory.net.nz. We'll see you again soon.